Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
What up, motherfuckers? It's the Real Ass Podcast. It's your boy, Louis J. Gomez.
We're with Rattlesnake, Snake, Real Ass Dude, Ultimate Minority, Joan Jett of Comedy. I got a lot of names.
International Superstar Zach D'Amico.
How you doing, buddy?
He's funny. He's a psycho. He's a real ass dude.
I was double-teaming this chick with her husband. Now he's selling coke in heaven.
Are you fucking ready, motherfuckers?
It's the only real podcast left out there.
Fuck is up Friday. How are you? How the fuck are you, bitches? It's your boy, Louis J. Gomez, international superstar Zach D'Amico. We survived.
It's your other boy, sort of.
Now a man.
Wow.
You were a boy. You've become a man.
Wow.
What a fun night we had at your bachelor party. We're going to talk about that.
I have no... What Chris from Brooklyn tweeted, I have no serotonin left in my body.
Jesus. Jesus. We had a wild, wild night. A lot of fun. I don't think it was anything too many crazy surprises. I wanted to make it a meat and potatoes bachelor party. We'll get into the night, and obviously huge congratulations to Shane Gillis. I want to talk about him getting Saturday Night Live and the obvious shitstorm that was going to happen after they announced that a white guy that said anything mildly offensive. It was very mild, very mildly. My agent wanted me to submit to write for Saturday Night Live this season. It's fucking hilarious. Like, holy shit. Chink. I swear to God, I thought you could say chink on ABC. Right now, I thought you can go on a...
I thought that was a show with Bobby Lee on ABC.
Look, doggy, we got a great show planned today.
Wait, what a good detective show that would be.
Yeah, chink. Look, great show planned today. Obviously, have two incredible friends and comedians on the show. James L. Madden joins the show.
What up, baby?
What up, baby boy?
It's been too long, Pop.
It's been a minute, man.
Man?
I love having you on the show. And
this
also, you brought your boy Josh Carter with you. I've known Josh very, very long time. It's been a while since I've seen you, my friend.
Yes, good to see you.
This is it. We got some crazy shit happening today in the world. Let's get into the show. Shannon, it's a special day, isn't it?
Why is that?
Nate, can I tell you my problem with you? So what I do on all the shows is I have them email us notes and we go over what we're going to talk about for the most part. Did you even give me notes?
I'm printing them right now because you showed up really late.
I didn't show up really late. They should have just been here.
Yeah,
okay. You see how fucking that
your coffee wasn't warm either.
I'm not late. I'm on time. The clock starts when I show up. Do people not get that shit? What was that? Was that a dog barking?
Yeah. Let's just say yes.
All right. Yeah, the clock starts when I fucking show up, okay? So, yeah, I was actually very, very much on time. And so Nate writes these notes out, and the first thing that he writes in the fucking notes is, let's just get it out of the way. It's my birthday. And I'm like, doggy, don't fuck it. Like, let us say happy birthday
hilarious.
To you. What you do is you take away, like, we remembered. Shannon texted us all this morning. Shannon, don't fucking grab the mic. We know. You remembered, idiot.
No, I was going to say it also annoyed me that he did that.
Right. Oh, good. All right,
yeah,
good.
So
I thought you were
going
to try to get five. No, you've been jumping down my throat lately. Ever since I stopped banging your brains out and making you come all the time, now you turn into a fucking cold bitch. So, no, you're right. Isn't that annoying that he did that?
Yeah, because it's like, if something was going to happen, let it happen. We don't need you influencing it.
Yeah.
You're like asking for it.
Yeah, and now it makes
That's
it
the same thing we said about you with Lewis.
Yeah. Stop asking for my dick every day. I'm like, Shannon, get away. Fuck. So Nate, we are going to sing you happy birthday. Is there an Australian happy birthday, Shannon? Did you find one?
Is there an Australian happy birthday?
It's the same.
By the Bee
Gees. It's the fucking same.
It's by the Bee Gees.
Oh my God.
Is it the same notes?
I bet that would be a fun version. I'm just saying.
It's your birthday, Nate.
Let's see.
This guy.
Say, look, it's a fun Australian happy birthday.
Happy birthday. I know. I'm the happy birthday singer. And today I've been asked to come and sing a special.
This is actually Nate.
To an Australian. Nate's dad. So here you go, Aussie.
With email.
A specially requested birthday song just for you.
Oh, shit.
Oh, happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Aussie. Happy birthday to who? You. For you're a jolly good fellow. Aussie's a jolly good fellow. You are a jolly good fellow. And so say all of us. So say all of us.
This is what the B-girl from that video is up to now.
Aussie's a jolly good fellow. You are a jolly good fellow.
Look for that apple.
There's 50 more seconds. 50 more seconds. What is he going to do?
Hip hip hooray.
Hey, I like this guy.
Hip hip hooray. Because it's an Aussie's birthday. So there you go, Australian. A specially requested birthday song from your friends, sung by me, but just for you on your birthday. So you have a great day.
Nate.
You have a lot of fun. And next year.
That guy's the reason all the Oompa Loompas died in their 40s.
Nate, that's how we see you.
I'm honored. Thank you.
Like you have the same voice. You dress silly.
Dress like that.
Yeah. You do have a silly dress to you.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
That guy's like the dad who told his kids they could do anything, and they repaid him by becoming drug addicts at 13. It's like, enough, dad. Fuck it. I just want to do heroin.
The fucking prep that goes into that.
That was a lot.
He had to literally think about that.
A lot.
And put the shit on.
Nate? No, he didn't think of it. He just put that on, I think.
I just threw it on this morning.
laid out on the bed.
Why didn't we have the fucking cake?
Excuse me?
I like how you spun that one.
Hello, where's the cake, mate?
Ralph!
What?
Is that why Ralph was here so early?
Oh, cake. Sorry.
What did you think I said?
Yeah.
I missed the
guys, I'm up for a job at NBC right now.
Yeah, I know.
Pending on
we
something.
We opened with chicken, and you said, said cake. Yeah. It's pretty on brand.
Man, all these racial words. They're going through podcasts. I said, how long ago? Shannon, didn't I say years ago, mark this day?
Yes.
I said it on one of my podcasts, okay? And I said, mark this day. They're going to start. That's the cake. Bring the cake in here.
I still have to bring it in.
That's the cake you bought him? This little tiny cake? That's barely enough for me and Zach.
You can have it.
What flavor? You got to eat it. It's your birthday.
What is this?
It's a coffee bean.
Oh,
there you go, sir.
Mm. I love how he's eating this guy's cake on his birthday.
You have to let him blow out the candle first. Oh my god.
Lewis is next level.
That's the most Gomez awesome thing, man. I've ever seen you do, Lewis.
What wish did Lewis make for Nate?
I wish for a raise in a year for you. In 1 year, a raise. Oh, wow. I wish that for you.
Oh, I thought you meant one raise in a year.
It's a strict diet.
Oh, it went back on.
Wow.
Oh, it's a funny candle. You got a funny candle, you assholes? I just don't know how to blow out a candle.
I'll leave it here.
I'm a failure. Take the cake, mate. Yeah. It's yours.
No. It's
we feel bad. We don't want it. It's gross. It's a disgusting, cheap cake.
Take your funny candle and fuck it.
It also went back on.
Take your haha candle.
Is that a funny candle?
Eric has no idea.
Eric. Eric looks like if you gave him one of those funny candles, he would just like
blow it out. For, all like,
working on the candle today, boss.
For like 48 hours straight, he just keep blowing it. He told me to blow out the candle.
This one's tricky.
Ralph said blow out the candle, so I blew it out, and it just wouldn't go out. Oh, fuck. That was pretty good. All right, look, we have a great show planned today. Let's get the plugs out of the way so we can lean into this show.
Lean.
Let's get some plugs, Shannon. Here we go. Josh Ricardo, what would you like to plug, my brother?
Broken Tail Dogs, my podcast, but alternative lifestyles. And I have a pop culture podcast I do with Marie Van Zandt from Sopranos called At Generation Gap. And you can follow me at Josh Ricardo and joshricardo.com. Thank you.
James L.
Buddies. Long time coming. First album is out.
Yeah.
It's called No Segways Comedy Records, Hotter Than Fish Grease.
Love it.
That's it, baby.
Amazing.
Get it on iTunes. Get it on all the nonsense. It'll change your life. It'll give you purpose.
Congrats. James All Matter.
And it'll give me enough money to move out of Bay Ridge. So thank you, everybody.
Hilarious comedian. Go check out his first album. So funny, guys. Let him know that the Puerto Rican Rattlesnake sent you. Leave him positive reviews. You can call him gay. That's the new thing. So you guys, if you leave reviews for the people on my shows, do it, but make sure you call them gay. That's the, and not in a disparaging way. Don't be like, hey, you fucking dumb faggot.
Yeah.
You know, five stars. You got to be like, hey, dude, I really love your progressive gay outlook on life. You're going to be the number one gay comedian in the world. And then give him a five-star review. Zach Amico.
Twitter and Instagram, Zach is not funny. Check out my other show here on the network, Zach Amico's Midnight Spook Show. Comics watching horror movies. Tonight, we're watching Monster Squad with Ian Fidance and my best friend John Brennan. And, hey, Capital Wrestling comes back to Hoboken on October the 6th. Use the promo code Zach for 2-for-1 tickets.
Fuck yeah. You know, all the podcasts here on Gas Digital, you get the entire on-demand library. Use that promo code RAP, GasDigitalNetwork.com. Get a 14-day free trial. Get access to this show, Legion of Skanks, Believe You Me podcast, Zach Amico's Midnight Spook Show, Luis J. Gomez's Midnight Chink Show. It's a different show. Also,
Midnight Gook Show.
Midnight Gook Show. Damn it, you're better than me at this.
Somebody else wrote that when I had two Asians on. I'm not taking credit for it.
But yeah, guys, go leave a 5-star ranking, positive review on our iTunes. And I got some live dates coming up. Me and Kurt Metzger going on tour September 20th, 21st in Nashville, Tennessee. Nashville, Tennessee. October 6th through 9th, I'll be in Los Angeles again. November 6th through 9th, I'll be down the shore at Uncle Vinny's Comedy Club. Kalamazoo in Detroit coming up in December. Boston, Syracuse, Albany, Connecticut, Winnipeg. Lots more coming up throughout the end of the year and the beginning of the year. Make sure you guys go grab the special. Luis J. Gomez presents Luis J. Gomez at Luis J. Gomez presents Luis J. Gomez.com. It's the only comedy special you need to get. You know, James, he has an album. That's fine. You know, let's go buy some albums. Albums are great. You put them in your earbuds. You do a little jogging. You know, why not? Do a little giggling while you're at the gym. But when you want to sit down and you really want to submerge yourself and commit yourself to a completely auditory visual experience inside and out, the only comedy special you need, Luis J. Gomez presents Luis J. Gomez.
Dueling.
Who listens to comedy? Some people tell me this. Some people listen to comedy when they're lifting weights. That's the weirdest thing ever.
They do.
And so I says, and then you're just doing curls.
Yeah.
Strange shit.
Yeah. Then they just text me and they're like, dude, you almost killed me at the gym. I'm like, stop listening to a comedy podcast at the gym, you psycho.
Yeah. Listen to metal or hip hop.
Like, oh, yeah. That's it.
Yeah.
You need to listen
why
to
Lewis is
fucking...
calling everybody a chink. Just benching.
Yeah. Well, that's what the,
benching
that's
what, during racial slurs.
That's the sound that the bench makes every time I put the weights down. Chink.
This is.
I'm like, wow, this gym is racist. Holy shit, dude. Somebody cancel Equinox.
About the 11 a.m. We're already right into it. We're ready to roll.
Can I say this? This is hilarious that this happens to be what we're going to end up talking about, that you're going to set up a minute. The last time I was here, leaving here to
interview. Hold on, it's Shane. Hey, dude, I'm live on air. I'm not going to say who I'm talking to. What's up, dude?
We're all.
Yeah, I'll call you after.
Waiting with bated breath.
Real Ass Podcast. Hold on. Well, you're not. I didn't. You can say it in the microphone here. What'd you say about my show?
Show sucks.
It's not
put it
okay.
On speaker, Lewis.
Shut up, Shannon. Hold on. What'd you say?
You do. Yes, you do.
Yeah. Congratulations.
Get the fuck out of here.
Are you calling
run!
Me? Are you calling me to tell me to lose your number and disassociate you?
Run, motherfucker!
How it was
get
like
out of here. Get away from us.
When he hung up. The fucking screen went black. Perfect this timing.
I hope he snapped his phone in half and threw it in a river.
Yeah. All right, guys, we should talk really quick about Infinite CBD, which I love. Love Infinite CBD. They offer the cleanest, purest, and healthiest forms of CBD available anywhere in the world. It is hemp that is grown organically in Colorado, and it is pure CBD isolate, testing over 99% CBD from an independent tester. Guys, if you don't know what CBD is, it is the non-psychoactive chemical in marijuana. It does not get you high. It's designed to help you. It's a medical anomaly, as they say. It's been proven to help with insomnia, anxiety, depression, physical pain, and many, many more things. I say do a little Google research and see how CBD can help you. So right now, go to infinitecbd.com and use the promo code RAP15, RAP15. You save 15% off your entire order. Go try out some of their products. Do a little research. See which one could help you out. They have everything from isolate drops to gummies to things you could smoke, eat, topical creams.
That Freezing Point topical cream.
It's the best.
Oh, my God.
I gave it to my aunt for her arthritis in her hand. She loves it. She swears by it. Once again, infinitecbd.com. Use that promo code RAP15. And yeah, let's get back into it. All right, let's get into the fucking day's events. I'm not right since your bachelor party.
Me either.
I've been eating bad since then. Yesterday.
It'll be Freaky Friday. I've been lifting weights.
Dude.
Raping.
I've been really, really, really bad. Shannon, if you want to get this weight competition, now's the time because I am fucking...
No, because if we start now, you're going to have an advantage.
Why?
Because you've been eating really bad.
And you know I'm just going to drop that shit so fucking quick. Right.
Ralph and I started last week. I lost 4 pounds already.
You lost four pounds.
In the past
Congratulations.
Week. Thank you, James.
It's amazing.
You look fucking great. You look. If you lose a little bit more, I'll start fucking you again. I swear to God, I will.
That's my motivation.
I know. No, I'm in this competition too, but I have probably, since I went to Hawaii and LA, I've probably put on more weight than I lost before I left. It's crazy. And then we went to a steak dinner.
Oh boy. Yeah.
It was so good. Amber Steakhouse in Brooklyn. Nice manly fucking steakhouse.
Just a dude's meeting.
Yeah.
It was a collection of dudes.
It was just
bloody. You guys both strike me as bloody steak guys.
I think
medium rare.
I am.
Oh, you go medium.
I go rare. Medium.
I like a nice rare.
Yeah, bloody is a motherfucker.
If it's cooked correctly,
you guys
like
scotch it up
medium.
Too. Cigar, scotch.
Scotch is a good move at a good steakhouse.
I did whiskey.
I did red wine. I didn't do any cigars.
But I don't even know you anymore. Medium, red wine. This is crazy.
It was good. I was a lady that night.
Did you have creme brulee after?
No, we did no dessert. We just we were.
Well. That's debatable.
We were very full by the time we were done eating at the steakhouse, okay?
Yes.
And the plan was after the steakhouse, we were going to go to a private space that I had rented for Zach. And the space was cool, but it was, I got to be honest, it was way too big of a space.
How many dudes or people?
Like 20 dudes and like six strippers. And
that's a good ratio.
Yeah, it was a great ratio, but the space was like a party space for 200 people.
Yeah, and it was all my nerdy friends, so everyone was against the wall, like a really aggressive high school dance.
It's like a Tijuana whorehouse prom. Like
the Dominican girls would come up to me and be like, yo, why are these guys so gay?
Yeah.
And I'm like trying to like smack their ass and like abuse them. And I'm like,
every single stripper, when Lewis tipped them, he looked like their brother who was a ringer. He was like, yo, just give me $20 and everyone else will come over.
Dude. These girls wanted to be fucking. They don't. Strippers want to be abused a little bit. Okay, I'm not saying what Shannon. What?
I agree with you. They're terrible people.
Shannon.
Oh man.
As far as Lewis is about
look
to go,
what you done
this,
to Shannon?
He's being nice.
Really? Okay, yeah. I'm very excited to hear this.
I'm being honest with you. These girls, they come in, and first of all, when we first come in, I'm blasting Marilyn Manson music, because when I...
Great.
You want me to feel welcome.
When Zach shows up, I want him to feel like he's home, you know? And these...
We all felt like somebody was going to come in with a machine gun at any second and rob all of us.
No, I didn't feel that way. The space was cool. They had a security guard at the space. He patted everyone down. You know, it was a couple...
And you arranged the dancers and everything.
I arranged everything. I was in charge.
Wow.
I was in charge of the bachelor party. And
that's like my favorite thing to do for anybody because I'm degenerate.
Fun.
It's like
it's fun.
Amazing.
It's fun. You negotiate the prices with the pimp.
And then I take the heat for everybody. Like, yeah, well, Josh set it up. You know, a lot of these guys always blame me. That's fine.
It's perfect. Yeah. Like, I had no idea what was going to happen.
Yeah. Plausible deniability.
Yeah.
That was one of the strippers' names. Plausible deniability. There was six strippers.
Jesus, you went. That's a great ratio.
There you go. How many were hot? How many were hot?
And how many were fuckable? Give me the two. Fuckable and hot. There's two different...
They're all fuckable.
Yeah. Well, okay, Josh. Everybody's fuckable.
How much did you have on you? There was one that just got bummed halfway through and sat with her clothes on.
That always happens.
One just quit.
They go all emo
in the middle of the shit. Yeah.
The feminine competition, is that what it was? If they're not getting...
Of the six, one was definitely the most ambitious.
Well, one was legitimately pretty. The one that I was trying to get to be my date to your wedding.
Yeah, and she was working the room the best.
Like, I legitimately tried to get her to be my date to Zach's wedding. I didn't even like her. I didn't give a fuck about her. I just wanted to show up at Zach's wedding with all the guys that were with one of the strippers. That'd be the fucking most baller move.
Because it's a whisper move. Because no one can really, if they're with dates, guys aren't going to be like, that's the girl at the party. They're just whispering.
You showed the tall bitch with the big ass. I was going to fucking show up a fuchsia at Zach's wedding. Fuchsia! It was going to be dope. But yeah, she said no. She had to work. She's a nurse.
That's her day job.
Times are tough.
So she was actually pretty.
Yeah, and she worked the room really good.
She didn't take her fucking clothes off. This bitch literally just walked over. This is what nerds we are, okay? Zach's friends, it's all fucking white nerdy guys, and then a few comics. The coolest person in the room by leaps and bounds is me. I'm talking about like head and shoulders. I'm the cool, like, quote unquote cool.
You're that dude. Laughing in the booth. You're that dude in that room.
I'm a bad motherfucker. I'm a real ass dude. What do you want me to say? That's what was happening there. It's a bunch of fucking nerds. And then
I'm
me.
A real ass dude.
And I'm the only one willing to smack your ass. Am I wrong? No, you're one dude. You're one really big, tall friend. We won't name names.
Yeah.
He was a fucking dude. He was the man. He's got on his knees and would, like, smell their assholes. It was the best. He was just.
There was one guy that came in here earlier that looked like Be Real from Cypress Hill.
Yeah, Eric.
Is that the guy?
No.
Oh.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Yeah, let me tell you something. It was fucking, it was me and that guy were the only one taking any initiative.
Yes.
And I was going harder than I would have.
You were trying to.
I was trying to get everyone fucking motivated. Because literally the girls were coming up to me like, yo, man, why are your friends so gay? Don't they like pussy? And at one point, the girl grabbed my hand and put it on her pussy, and she was like, you can touch our pussies. What are you guys, gay? She said this. And wow. I was like, wait. And then I literally, this is 3 hours in the party.
Hear ye, hear ye.
I swear to God.
He Paul revered the place.
In the year of our Lord, 2019. Ka-ding. Magenta agreed to have her vaginal touched.
I swear to God, I made an announcement. I was like, guys. We're allowed to touch their pussies.
And they were still scared.
Yes.
It's scary.
Everyone was still afraid.
Did you feel like the only guy who could play basketball with like a bunch of guys? And you're like, come on, if you just catch it and face the hoop and put it up, you might go
like
in,
Jack
guys.
Nicholson and Wolf of the Cuckoo's Nest. You're trying to teach all the
crazy. I didn't really give a shit. I swear to God.
Everyone had a wonderful time.
Everyone had a great
time. A good time was had by all.
It was really fun.
I'm sorry, I missed
We had a huge bar. We had a fucking bunch of weed. People were, you know, taking part in whatever they were taking part in. Yeah. And everyone had a fucking blast, but I was definitely trying to just—I was trying to be the cheerleader. So I just walk over to girls and I throw dollars on them, smack their ass, and be like, "Yeah." Sure. And but
lead
these
by
guys,
example.
These guys were afraid.
I was at a bachelor party once where it was on a limo bus, and there was two strippers, and I was with a couple comics, and the comics were cracking jokes while the stripper was dancing. And one guy looked over to my buddy, this like big Samoan guy, and he goes, "Hey, be serious." How serious do we have to be here tonight? But it is there's like a protocol on bachelor parties, you know? Like, you don't want to fuck up anybody's good time.
Of course.
And if your buddy wants to sniff ass, he should be allowed to and appreciate that. Yeah. But also, there has to be some room for some fun, I guess.
There's got
to,
yeah, I mean, it was.
Some, like,
it was
the
right
antics.
It was the right environment. You know, the space was cool. They were great about it.
Very relaxed. Casual atmosphere.
But yeah, because the guys weren't fucking being scumbags. The girls, they figured it out. Like, I was talking to the girls about, like, just, like, the game plan. I was getting, like, interested into the business of it. They were like, yeah, nobody's, like, being aggressive or anything, so we're just going to, like, finger each other and put bottles in each other's pussies.
That's the best.
And then there's one on the ground and rolled around on a dirty ground, like, in nasty dollars and just jammed bottles into each other's pussies. And we're just like, all right, cool. That was it. And they made good money.
Yeah, so they had a good time.
Yeah, they all had a good time.
You think
time.
If you walked in there with like a bunch of dudes that looked like you, though, they might have been checking up on you more, or just the space was cool in general?
No, they checked
you know what
up
I mean?
On everybody
like,
anyway.
Okay,
that
yeah.
was
yeah.
That was sort of the thing. They wanted to make sure nobody had any weapons, any, you know, no violence. They were used to people renting that space and it being a huge, you know.
Scary hood.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Like
all right.
You,
makes,
people,
yeah.
people rent that space for like a fucking, like in, you know, a huge party. Like
yeah.
you want 200
yeah.
people, 300 people in a party. I didn't realize how big this space was. I should have went and not sent Bobby. Bobby was like, oh, it's great. It'll be perfect. And then it was fucking cavernous. So
where was it? By Barclays? Close to it?
Yeah, kind of.
Because I've been to a party in that place. It's pretty wild. I went with a random girl I met at a gig whose hotel was next door. It was like some cool Jamaican party, but it also felt like a David Lynch film. Like, I really felt like I was in Lost Highway. Like, a tarantula was just going to fucking climb the wall.
Yeah, dude. It was a good time, man. I had a blast. We fucking hung
yes,
out.
We did.
Went to a strip club at the end of the night. At the end of hanging out with all the strippers, like, let's go to
yeah.
a strip club.
It's
man.
Like, let's get a milkshake after the ice cream. I love yeah. it.
It was a lot of fun.
And I went to the wrong hotel.
Whoopsies.
Oh, yeah. That was infuriating.
Louis got me a hotel room, but I just went to the wrong hotel and they checked me in.
They did check you in. Oh, that's a win.
Yeah, because he put his credit card down.
Yeah, I know. So you'd pay for
that's
hotel.
A loss.
Yeah, goddamn nightmare.
The whole night was arranged.
Guys, let's take a quick moment and talk about our brand new sponsor, Trinkin. They sent us these amazing cups and lids that make everything you're drinking look like a cup of coffee. So,
guys, if you're a piece of garbage,
yeah, you are.
Like me.
You are.
Like me. Sometimes like Louis, but definitely like me. You want to have a beer sometimes.
Yeah.
You're not supposed to have a beer.
I know. And then here's the thing. You could take your beer. You could take a 24-ounce beer, throw it into a paper cup, and have it get warm after a few minutes.
You feel like a homeless person.
Yeah. You'd be like, feel like an asshole. The drinking cup, it's reusable. You can take your beers. You put it directly in the cup. It keeps it cold. It looks like you're just drinking a cup of coffee. It's pretty damn awesome. This is a great gift if you have a friend with a birthday coming up, if your boyfriend's a scumbag like us. This is an awesome, fun gift. And you support the show as well. So go to trinkinstore.com. TRINKENSTORE.com and use the promo code RAP15 to save 15% off your entire order. TrinkinStore.com, use that promo code RAP15, save a little cash, support the show. All right, let's get back into it. Nate, after he wished himself a happy birthday in that email, he also was like, let's just wish Shane congratulations and not stir the pot. With all of the, which I understand what you're saying, Nate.
It wasn't to stir the pot. I'm just like, fuck the. I don't want to give these people any credit. Fuck them. I'm happy for Shane. That's where it ends.
Yeah, I'm happy. I'm happy for Shane too. And you're right to a certain degree, but to ignore the fact that he's been dealing with fucking a bunch of shit. I think that would be doing a disservice to the fan base.
I mean, they barely got the press. Press release out that he made the show.
Like, it was 5 hours.
Like he got a count of 10 Mississippi. It was like he was a quarterback in street football. It was crazy. Yeah.
Just let him have a day. That's it. Just let him have one day.
That's how quick they move now, though. That was a mind blowing thing.
To get his dick sucked by some old flings.
Yeah,
let him have a night to go get drunk with his friends.
That's a good point. You're right.
Let him wake up the next morning to some shit. Okay. Don't just let him just have a fucking day.
That means it was somebody's job the second the press release came out
to go get him.
Just start Googling. Yeah.
He couldn't even get a medium steak with a glass of red wine at a steakhouse with Lewis.
What a night. What a night. I don't feel bad for Shane because Shane's going to obviously be fine. I think that my understanding of these things are NBC, they fucking vet the shit out of these guys. Okay, they know what they're getting into. They knew Shane had been on a bunch of podcasts. The reason that they were taking down all of those podcasts, obviously, is because they were like, all right, well, at least get it all offline, whatever, and they just took the entire archive down from his podcast. And we, at the same time, Shane didn't even ask us to, we just took a bunch of the shows that he had been on down just because why give them the fuel? Yes. You know, they're
going
to find
the shit
anyway.
That's crazy that you know that now. You've been in the game so long with, pushing buttons that you're like, we better start.
Well,
house cleaning when someone gets something major. That's crazy. We live in an era now.
Look, the reality is, like, they're going to find this shit anyway, but why make it easy for
them? Sure, yeah. Fuck them.
But, Shane's, it's great, dude. And he's going to be, Shane Gillis will be fired from SNL in 3 days.
I found this that someone made a countdown clock.
Somebody made a countdown clock. It's fucked up.
The one thing that makes me nervous is that the things they're zinging him for is what? Asian slur, gay slur, and he is. The headline was 3 new cast members, but first gay Asian. So that dude, I don't know that kid. He seems all right. I've heard he's a good kid. But he's Caesar right now. Like, if he goes thumbs down, he's out.
Yeah.
I mean, let's be
true.
Real about that.
Right.
He's Caesar.
So if he says, I feel uncomfortable.
Yeah. He's done. Like, now, I'm he can squash it by going, I like Shane. I know who Shane is. I know this is just joking around. Then he's good. He's Wonka passed.
Yeah. Wonka I don't know, ticket. Though. I don't know that that would be enough. I think that... I think that NBC did their due diligence, and I think that they know what they're getting into, and I think what Shane ultimately said was fairly mild compared to like what people. I mean, he's legitimately joking. He's making jokes on a podcast, and
it's not Michael Richards.
I think what's good. The good thing is, as long as he keeps his job there, and as long as everything moves forward, it's like people. The more people fail, it's troll culture, right? So these people, these fucking writers and bloggers are the same as internet trolls. And if they get the result that they're looking for, they keep on going for it. But if they don't, they kind of pivot and shift and move. And this is why you've seen, the
once it stopped working with like Aziz and Chris Hardwick, they sort of shifted from this whole Me Too with comedians thing. They couldn't tear people down for this mild horseshit, right? So I think that it'll be fine. You watched it happen with Chappelle. They're trying to, and Chappelle just ignores it. A few days go by and nobody gives a fuck. They move on to the next guy. So 3 days will go by. By Monday, they will move on to the next thing that they're upset about, as long as the you know, the fire isn't fed.
Let me ask you a question though. Do you think that this is a good thing?
I think they should fire him personally, but you know, that's me.
Yeah. Do you think it's a good thing though that they bring this stuff up, because it might bring the needle back a little bit more? You know what I mean? Like, from where it's at now, it's so extreme, but it might, because you know, people are like speaking out, and the more
we become desensitized to cancel culture, the more people get up in arms about horseshit and dumb little things and ignore the bigger things, the more regular people or more, the more moderate people and people in the middle go like, all right, this is getting fucking dumb.
Yeah.
So I think it's good in that way. And in a certain sense, the more it happens, the better it is. It just sucks for the people that it happens to when they're going through it. As long as, look, I don't think that Shane Gillis is losing any, you know, anything. I really don't. I truly don't.
I don't think so either. And regardless, I think he's so funny.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
And his apology was really nice. I mean, I didn't think he like copped out or anything. It was very like to the point. It was like, hey, you know, this is what it is, and that's
he's getting attacked for the apology. You know? I mean, that's how crazy it is. His supposed apology, because he said anything to anyone, I mean, it did offend.
I would have showed up with a pair of glasses on and buck teeth,
Jerry Lewis,
and a fucking gong. Are you kidding me?
In it your just mind? Seems crazy.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry.
You mean a modern Kumi a bit?
Yeah.
Like, there's lines I don't pass, but I don't mind any comic who says, like, we should have the right to make mistakes. I hate, though, when other comics, and I'm using quotations, and I hate to say this.
Sure.
I've noticed of all the controversies.
There's Jerry.
It's Bowen Yang.
With the Chappelle, with the Burr thing, with, like, Shane.
Yeah.
Is there, how many, you probably count on one hand comics that you would be scared to follow who are attacking these people. It seems like a lot of people who don't get work are the ones who are like, he should lose this. And, like, bloggers. Like, I went to school to write. Like, I have a degree for that. And these guys can just get a job after managing a Taco Bell. It's almost like untalented people who want to cancel talented people so then they can get their jobs. But they're so untalented.
It's not that they're untalented. You know what it is? It's that these people, they've figured out a way to get easy clicks. And they, you know, you get this big emotional reaction online and you get a volley back and forth. And they go, oh, cool, I've created this. This guy who wrote that initial blog, like... Yeah. You know, he's like, he feels as if he's doing something. He's having some sort of impact versus
it's
creating
engagement.
Something.
It's engagement. Yeah.
So
that's him getting laughs at a club.
That's it. Yeah, that's his version of laughs. And the more people click on his website and the more, you know, they're going to keep on getting it. It's the publications. It's the people at the top that need to just shut the fuck up. It needs to stop being a thing that because real people don't give a shit. I was going to do a bit this morning. I just didn't have the motivation. I was going to go do Chinese people actually care what Shane Gillis said? And I was going to go to Chinatown with a microphone and just like literally in the middle of like hardcore Chinatown and put a microphone in their face and watch them freak out. And that was going to be the whole bit. But then I was like, let me just not.
I thought I got off of Grand Street.
Yeah.
I walked here from Grand Street. I'm like, should I ask? Should I get the temperature of what's going
should
on?
Should I make my strip club announcement?
Here's another thing though. It's like the way he used the word, like last night, I didn't see the clip. I just heard it. I was like, what is the context? People are like, well, there's no context. No, I mean, he was pretty much voicing like ignorant white people who make the laws in the streets in New
really
York in the years.
I don't care what it was. I'm not going to break down the context.
I don't think
context.
It was just him doing it.
I don't even care. If he's trying to be funny, podcasts, what's beautiful about podcasts, the reason people like podcasts are because you are, or good podcasters, forget that the microphones are in front of them.
And they just go.
A good podcaster is having a conversation where from the gut, it's like, you know, it's the idea. It's like, you know, at the Comedy Cellar, you have to listen at the back table, be on the fly on the wall.
Yep.
Where comics are on a road trip. And do you know what the fuck comics say on road trips?
That's
are
ridiculous.
You out of your fucking mind? Do you, when people are trying to be funny in a car and make other comics laugh, we say the craziest
fucking
shit.
Fired right away from any job if they've heard it. Yeah.
Legion, a show like Legion of Skanks, we really emulate that, and we really do. And a show like this, I don't think about the microphone after a little while, and I just fucking go. And that's why these are great shows, and that's why you create. That's why podcasting is taken over as a comedic medium, because it's very real, it's very from the hip, It's not edited. People aren't overthinking what they're saying. They're just fucking going.
Yep.
And when you are making every comic go, shit, should I not say that? Should I not say this? What you are doing is you are dulling the blade. You are dulling the blade of comedy. Every comedian on fucking earth right now is overthinking what they're saying, and you need to sharpen it. Guys like Chappelle and Burr, when they're taking those chances, they're sharpening the blade. Skankfest is sharpening the blade. Yep. And you need comics to be willing to take those chances. And when people fail, and Shane didn't fail. I'm not saying that Shane failed, because Shane was fucking funny. That clip was hilarious. Fuck off. It was funny, okay? But even if it wasn't funny, and even if he had failed in that moment, it's like, let comics go in and kind of work out these things, and you are lucky enough to be able to listen to these things and go, shit, dude, we're getting very real, you know, no bullshit type of comedy. Everything you see on all these TV shows is edited down. It goes through standards and practices. It goes through lawyers. It goes through multiple levels in order to get it on television. Think about how dull that is. Think about just fucking, you know, what you want, what's great about stand-up or podcast or any of these things.
Uncut. You want the pure, yes, purity. Dude. Yeah.
And
you don't want it stepped on.
This is the tone that we have right now. This is why comedy sucks right now, is because we've dulled the blade. And the more we can make it sharp, and this is why a show like Legion of Skanks stands out, and people go like, oh shit.
That's, I actually thought about your show when this came out, because I feel like that's the kind of thing now that's going to have to happen. People are putting signs on doors. Hey, when you go beyond this place, it's going to be uncensored. You might be triggered.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like putting a fucking warning on cigarettes now for comedy. It's unbelievable to me.
Fuck it, good then. I think it's even better.
Yeah,
do
it's
that.
Albums in the 80s. It's, hold it's you accountable. Putting a sticker that you might hear something bad. Sure. I mean, it is at that
be
point
accountable
now.
But what's fucked up is, like, that was cool back then.
It was the greatest
every
thing
kid
ever.
Who grew up on this
wanted that fucking sticker.
You were like, oh, dude, it's got the little
I wore a shirt with the sticker. I had the shirt. You had it too?
Yeah, dude. Every one of us are dumb fucking hacks. All of our first headshots probably had that sticker over our mouth. We all stink. Let's get real.
How great was it when Use Your Illusion had those on it? You're like, fuck yeah, dude.
What'd you say?
Duct tape
it. Duct tape it. This guy's uncensored. Let me wrap the microphone around my neck.
Parental advisory suggested.
Listen, I think Shane went too far. Chinatown smells great. Everyone's polite. Yeah. There aren't kids pissing in the street, and people don't blow their nose on the sidewalk.
Yeah, dude, it's...
Shane was out of his mind. I don't know what he was doing there.
Chinese people are the best.
Well, it's like pattern recognition. I feel like you can... Like, if you recognize patterns now, you're automatically a racist.
I had a...
Any pattern you recognize.
But I had a Korean friend once who told me that when they have flights from China to Korea, they give out a pamphlet that explains basic human manners.
Really?
It's like, all right, don't spit on the sidewalk... Don't take your dick out and piss on the side. Like,
the culture is saying.
It's literally,
we know you do this.
How to behave like a human being in public.
Dude, poor people in, like, China, in the cities in China will shit in the streets.
Yeah, no, it's when there's a flight from China, they give a pamphlet that's like, here's how to behave like a human.
Yeah.
We would never do that to Chinese people flying here, but Korea's like, don't even try it.
Wait, though, you bring up, like, the pattern thing, right?
Yeah.
This has always been fascinating to me. Like, if you are not a part of a sect and you say, like, something, a trend they do, right, then you're a racist.
Yeah.
But someone who is a part of the sect could say the same thing next, and it's acceptable. So here's my thing. It's like, if it's the truth that's accepted by the actual group, mm-hmm. then why can't – let's just say, like Puerto Ricans blow their nose in public and leave it on the ground, and you told me that, and I've noticed it. How am I wrong if you agree that that's what you and you get together other Puerto Ricans are like, we all blow our nose and leave it on the ground. How is that wrong if I say that?
I'm
but that's what
shirt.
It's become now, and I would lose a job over that.
Are you trying in a long way to figure out a way to say the N-word?
Puerto Rican?
You've been working on it a long time.
Yeah.
I'm going to wear my 23andMe shit on my shirt whenever
just
I do
so
shows.
Everyone knows what
just
you get
so
away
I know
with.
When I do a joke, I could point to how much percentage I am.
Yeah.
That's what I'm going to do.
Do you realize how nervous I got with you just even saying that? That's how crazy. It's like, are
you got an album
nope,
out, bro.
Never in my mind.
Yeah.
So there should be like a Chinese Larry the Cable Guy type. You might be a Chinaman if...
Didn't Pat Morita do that shit, though? Pat Morita
he was
always,
right? Yeah, he was the hip.
Yeah. Yeah, he didn't actually have an accent, right?
No,
yeah.
He's from America.
He's a gay guy from Jersey.
He's a gay Hawaiian
I think he
guy.
Served in the army.
I mean,
I think he fought in either. I think he fought in WW2
all the way to the bank.
Yeah, he's like, these fucking zipper heads.
All the way to the Okinawa Bank, Karate Kid Part 2.
Yeah, I Yeah, it's fucking. It's just sort of a crazy, sort of a crazy time. But you know. I think that as we have to protect the internet, that's sort of the thing that we should be concerned with, because that is the last place where we can be ourselves, and we're losing that. That's slowly what's going away. Is they're gonna sink their hooks into the fucking, you know, what they've already done with YouTube. All these big private companies. So a company like YouTube becomes so big, it becomes the absolute, you know, dominator in terms of posting videos and having a searchable. Mm-hmm. And it's like, if you're not on YouTube, you're essentially, you know, it's like there's like a mall, right? Like, and you could have a store in that mall, or you could have a store like deep out in fucking Queens, where on like a dead fucking block where nobody is there at all. And it's like, you got to get people to come out there. It's nearly impossible.
Yep.
So you need that
come
real
to the
estate.
Owen Benjamin Outlet Mall.
168th Avenue. Yeah.
Ding, 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 ding.
Oh, and YouTube's very aware that you need them too. Those motherfuckers know.
Yeah, but that's sort of like what's going on now. So it's like, there, it's not, you know, you just, it's a weird thing. I think we're going to lose control of that eventually. I think we're not going to be able to say things on the internet the same way we can't say things on television.
On stage.
Yeah, it'll be stage.
I did.
But, well, I mean, that's sort of like, that's the last place you can go. But now they try to attack the venues. Look at Skankfest. We, you know, we didn't lose our venue. We walked away from our venue. It's not brutal. It's fine. We have a larger venue now, and it looks like we're locking it up for next August. But, you know, it's, you look at the culture that we live in, where even venues are going like, oh, we have to take a side socially and politically and culturally. Like, dude, shut the fuck up. You're a building. You are a box. Yeah. You have a bar. Yeah, you don't have an opinion. I don't give a fuck. Dude, if I had a catering hall, I'd be like, all right, dude, some Nazis want to come in and have a wedding. Cool. Nazi wedding. Oh, the Jews are back. Let's go, Jews. All right, some gays. Let's party, baby boy.
It's a not, space.
It's a fucking space.
I mean, baby these boy walls, on top of it. Just the cherry on top.
Let's party, baby boy.
If these walls could talk, they wouldn't be saying.
You can touch their pussies!
Ding, 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 ding. You can. It's crazy.
Yo, dude, I was hosting the show and I had to eat checks. And it was, these girls were so drunk and they were a mess, but they were fun. And then right before I bring out like the last act, I did a joke, like just talking. I had something about baseball, or I called it like a pussy sport. And and these girls went from fun to the biggest feminist ever, like, pussy sport? You sexist? I'm like, it's just how you're brought up to say the word. Yeah. And I'm like, look, and there's no discussion. They stood up and protested, and everyone else was like, you girls have been ruining the whole fucking show by yelling at everything, and now you're going to be goddamn Susan B. Anthony? And it got intense for like 10 minutes. I couldn't even bring up the last act, because they were like, and they wanted to talk to the manager, who's a, I don't know if I should bring up the name. You remember Buddy Flip, the old comic, who's a waiter manager? Great guy. He's like, yo, I just want to fucking save money so I can take my woman out on Sunday. Like, what are we doing here? Like, you're protesting. It was crazy.
Yeah.
It's gotten to that point now where, because of the culture, because of like social media, where you can thumbs up everything, or if you don't like something, you can argue it. People now
trained.
Think they can just do that in real life. They can go to a show and be like, that was a good one.
We're shifting. I used to really kind of be proud of the fact that like you'd get offline and everyone sort of got along. And now, because people are more dependent on social media, their cell phones, because we are becoming one with our fucking computer that we have in our hand, and it's everything. I mean, dude, I just started ordering on DoorDash. It's over.
It's amazing.
It's over.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah, forget it.
Dougie, I hated it the other day, Shannon. I'm back.
Can we start the competition?
Yeah, I know. He's done. I feel like Lewis is done.
The weight loss competition. Can we start
you
know that?
He's on his way.
Can I tell you what I ate yesterday? Can I tell you? All on DoorDash. I sat on my couch.
Same McGriddle, the greatest thing in the history ever made. Oh, is McGriddle.
I didn't have a McGriddle. What I have? Let me tell. I'm gonna look at my door.
I went all in on Wednesday too, buddy.
What?
Did you order more than once yesterday?
I ordered three meals yesterday. All right, for breakfast I had IHOP.
Oh, that's fine.
I ordered IHOP to my home. I wanted coffee, and I was like, all right, well, I'm not gonna spend $6 on delivery
for
coffee.
Yeah,
you
gotta get food. Yeah, yeah.
I was like, if I spend over,
they ding you with the fee. You're like, fuck it. I'm
over
$15,
I get free delivery. So I ordered a fucking. Pancakes, the
bacon.
Fucking bacon, sausage, ham.
IHOP too.
IHOP is the best,
man.
And it showed up so. What are the packaging they
you
had?
Feel like you're on the road,
dog,
at your own house,
dog.
It, now you're making me want to go to IHOP after this.
I'll go to IHOP right now. We'll end the podcast early and just go to IHOP.
All I've had is a protein bar, and I'm fucking going banana right now. I am losing.
Banana protein bar.
No, I just like to say I'm going banana because Pat Patterson, the old French Canadian announcer, couldn't pluralize it when he's announcing. He'd be like, "The crowd's going banana, Vince." So I refuse to pluralize bananas.
I ordered a Subway sandwich for lunch. The Italian.
Is that horrible?
No.
Oh, okay, that's horrible.
I mean, yeah, what did you put on that shit?
The Italian, the spicy Italian.
It's not that you ordered a sandwich, it's that you ordered a Subway sandwich.
I ordered a Subway.
When you could order from a deli
in New York City
and get people food.
No, I wanted to. I wanted the spicy Italian. I feel like
it's the road. You lived on the road.
It was crazy, okay? And then, what did I have for fucking dinner last night? What the fuck? Let me see. Hold on. I ordered on DoorDash. Hold on.
I'm still just with Seamless, which I just didn't get into until February.
And also, I've been trying to scam DoorDash and just order and then lie about them missing a condiment or something each time. I got it up to 3 credits, and now they're like, yeah, you get $1 credit.
Man. Yeah.
How about that? $1. I was like, what?
They must have like an algorithm. Like,
oh, yeah, they
this
know.
This motherfucker's trying to do us.
They know. Hold on. Let's see. Submit. Orders.
You know what would be great? Is
got
they...
us for another spicy mustard.
Oh. Last night, me and the boy had some White Castle.
Oh, Bubba.
White Castle. 10 fucking... And then, here's the thing. They don't have it perfect yet on DoorDash, so you could only order the 10-pack of hamburgers. They didn't have the cheeseburger option. It was crazy.
That's weird.
So I just ordered 10 individual cheeseburgers. It was crazy. A fucking basket of fries.
You must have spent like $200.
It was crazy. It was crazy. I feel like I went on a fucking bender of drugs. Like, my face is all puffy. I feel like...
After a cheat,
you haven't taken a good shit yet either. You're like...
It was bad. Like, this morning I had a banana. And that's it. I was like, I can't.
Yeah.
It felt like I literally felt the banana going through my body, like it was cleansing my body.
Hell yeah.
I can't. I can't eat bad. Look how fat I am right now. I'm wearing a 2X shirt. I was like, I can't wear a 1X today.
I love how your closet separated from 1X and 2X.
I keep all my big clothing.
That's hilarious.
I keep all my big clothing because I know I'll always be back to them. Yeah.
Yeah, I fluctuate a lot because I have addiction shit. And sometimes I'll have like a fucking whole stack of jeans that are like 2 sizes bigger just because I know I'm going to fucking lose it.
Hey guys, let's take a quick minute and talk about my favorite sponsor on the network, Blue Chew. Love Blue Chew. Shannon loves Blue Chew as well. Shannon, tell them how much you love having sex with me when I'm on Blue Chew.
Oh, it makes a big difference.
Right, doesn't it?
Huge difference.
Talk about it. Give me some details about how much more my penis gives you.
It's bigger, it's harder.
Right?
It lasts longer.
Because usually when I'm having sex with Shannon without Blue Chew, very difficult to keep an erection. Okay. If I look up into the air and I think about like different girls that I've had sex with in the past, and I go through like a Rolodex of them, then I can usually come. But with Blue Chew, I literally, I'm not even lying about this. I look at Shannon in the face most of the time. True or not true?
That's true.
Very true. And the best part of all of this is that it's very discreet. You do it online. You just do a little questionnaire on the website, and they send you the Blue Chew right to your apartment or your mailbox or your house or whatever in discreet packaging. So nobody has to know what's going on. Okay. You could fucking just, I lie about it. I don't even tell Shannon. Shannon, do you notice the difference?
Of course.
You know, see, that's the thing. It's hard to lie. It's such a good difference that you can't even lie about it, you know?
Just Lewis screaming on top of a woman with a blue tongue.
Right now, if you go to BlueChew.com, BlueChew.com is the website. You get your first order for free when you use the promo code RAP. Just pay $5 shipping. That is BlueChew.com, BlueChew.com, promo code RAP. All right, where were we? I got to buy a new, for your wedding tomorrow. I have to buy new clothes. Suit? I don't have a suit that would fit me.
When is your wedding?
Tomorrow.
Oh, are you serious?
Zach, yeah.
And you're here?
Buddy. I'm Thank so you. Happy for you.
Thank you.
This is great.
It's going to be a lot of
you
fun.
Really
I asked Ari
your
to be
early.
My date to your wedding.
Oh, that would be nice.
I was just going to come with Ari as a gay comic.
Do you think you'll be able to touch his pussy or no?
Maybe.
Guys, we could touch Ari's pussy.
Well, Zach told me there's a girl there that wants to suck my dick, so I was like, I'm not bringing a girl to...
Smart move.
Wow.
Lewis is also walking my mother down the aisle, and it's not...
If that's who sucks my dick.
If that's who sucks your dick, I commend you.
I will
wedding of the year.
I will fuck your mother's face,
dude,
at your wedding. How fun would that be if I just like in the men's bathroom just started smashing
her
mouth?
I could not get mad.
No, you could.
Hilarious.
Smacked in the face. Yeah. Get the fuck out of your slut.
That's another kind of scary that you have, where you're like
he also just
do
doesn't know how to treat
a story,
a mother.
And you'll go all the way.
I will go all the way. I would.
You
I swear to God, I would fuck
way.
Zach's mother's face. I swear on everything in the world that given the opportunity to fuck Zach's mother's face at his wedding. And him find out about it in a heartbeat. As a bit, I would reveal the video on the podcast
as
on Monday.
A bit.
As a bit.
As a comedian, I couldn't get mad.
No.
Couldn't get mad. Wow. Absolutely hilarious. Not.
I had a comedian hook up with my aunt and then do a roast and tell me that she squirted.
Oh, my God.
No.
And I was really young at the time, and I was like super violent, and I wanted to beat the shit out of him. And a friend was like, hey, this is the comedy rules, man. This is what comedy is. Comedy is a guy makes my aunt squirt and fucking tells me about it.
And break the news. Like you're
well, here's my rule. I'm going to kick this guy's teeth down his throat for saying that shit. Comedy rule. Go fuck yourself. Comedy rule. Fuck comedy.
Who is the comic?
It's a good friend of mine, Ray Combs Jr. He's my best friend. Oh. He doesn't do stand-up anymore, but he moved to Austin. You know Ray.
I know Ray. Ray had no boundaries with shit.
Yeah, Ray's nuts.
Ray, I feel like I know Ray.
You probably met him back in the day. We probably all hung out at one time in the early days of New York. But
so
for me,
good kid.
How did he fuck your aunt?
No, he didn't fuck. It was a guy who doesn't do stand-up anymore. Actually, a guy who ended up running his car into a fucking house in La Jolla.
Oh, so another comic fucked you.
And then
so it wasn't Ray.
Ray, no. But I, you know, actually, I wouldn't mind if Ray fucked my aunt.
Ray's
a nice guy. She used to be. Now she's rough.
She's rough.
She's into a lot of the old meth.
Okay. Ooh, yuck.
Yeah, she does a lot of meth.
Right.
But you know, for the story, I don't mind.
Maybe.
You're a nice guy. I know. We don't see each other often, but I like you a lot.
I was trying to fuck Trey Gallion's sister. His 47-year-old virgin sister.
What?
Yeah.
Virgin? Okay, but how? So I go religious. Pretty deep in sex, but the thing is,
explains it all.
I have to. I have to up the ante. Is that how you are? Because you've done a lot of weird shit.
No, that comic upped your ante.
That motherfucker didn't do shit. He said she squirted on the windshield, and I was like, all right.
Zach attack. I mean, come on.
Zach, that was a 5-run home run.
You're out of the park. Holy shit. Woo! Whoa, baby.
Zach, if there was an audience, they'd go banana.
So I got to call my aunt.
Funny.
You better call your aunt.
Yeah. This guy just clowned on you, Zach. This Zach guy just clowned her. Oh, clowned her meth habit, too.
How did the guy end up fucking her?
I don't know. She used to come to my shows, and I wouldn't even invite her, and she would just show up.
Oh, yeah. She was...
She was ready.
She just wanted to go out and party.
Yeah. And I was like, dude, come on.
Oh, my God.
Come on, it's my aunt. But good for you. I mean, that's probably the last time the guy got laid.
I gotta go buy something for you. Zach, I feel like I shouldn't have to buy you a gift for your wedding.
No, you were very generous.
I mean, the amount of fucking money they spend on your bachelor party, it's crazy. I didn't keep good track of who owes what. So a bunch of people still owe me money. A bunch.
You send Venmos out?
I owe you money. God damn it. I just realized that by looking at your dumb eyes.
You owe me money on my birthday.
Didn't collect a goddamn dime from anybody.
Well, you just have to pay it, I guess.
Make me fucking furious. We'll see what happens.
But you can shake them all down tomorrow.
That's right, I will. I should try to get my dick sucked at your wedding, though. How fun will that be? Is that chick coming with a date?
No.
Nice.
Touchdown.
I multiple times said I did not tell you, by the way.
Oh, that she wants to suck my dick?
Yeah. No, I wouldn't tell him that.
I'm going to pretend that I recognize her, which is the funniest thing on earth.
You're going to have to wait for 20 girls to walk by and hope.
This girl sucked my dick like years ago after a comedy show, and I would have no idea who she is.
She's
in a million
a
years if Zach didn't bring... No, she was just a slut at a comedy show.
Why is she coming to your wedding?
She's a friend of my wife.
Oh.
You know. So you know the type of fucking company sluts keep. So now I'm not bringing a date to the wedding in hopes... Because I've never hooked up with a chick at a wedding ever. This is very like that movie.
Wedding Crashers?
No. That's not it.
First Dates?
No.
Apocalypse Now?
The Accused. Yeah. So I think what's going to happen is we're gonna find a pinball machine. And
Irreversible.
I thought it was a wedding movie.
Party
He's
with
bringing
this
up
bitch.
The Accused.
Baby boy, she's going to feel it.
Yo, your strategic use of baby boy is the most disturbing thing ever. And then I killed 6 Jews, baby boy. Whoa! And raped them on pinball machines. Whoa, baby boy!
Come on.
Nazis get putty here,
these
baby
are jokes.
Boy.
If I get an SNL job, just realize that these are just jokes now. Can
we'll
I preface everything now?
I'm a board member of Universal, and I'm going to fire Shane. Because
my agent sends me out auditions for like ABC TV shows, and I'm telling him, like, you know.
I'm up for something at Disney.
I cannot do any of those. Like, it cannot happen. It's just not going to happen.
Every time I do your show, I'm up for a different branch of Disney, and I'm petrified of what the fuck to say.
Okay.
Because it's... No, I'm still doing it, but it's like...
Do it.
Because, you know, it's goddamn Disney, and they own 90% of entertainment, so it's like...
I know.
You could lose something. It's so weird, though, that we, you know, scared of shit.
It is.
We should be fearless troubadours.
But it's a weird thing. There's, like, a certain line you have to cross. You have to be...
It has to be a big enough of a show because it's not dumb shows. It's not like small.
Yep.
People write on stupid shit all the time.
Oh, yeah.
People are, that are quote unquote problematic. They So I don't understand like what the level is. I guess SNL is like the level where you're like, oh, yeah, if you go to SNL, they're going to really screw.
But that's also
shit.
A notoriously liberal audience show. That's a show that attacks Trump.
There was some guy named like Kevin Yu, an Asian guy, YU, and he was like, fuck Shane Gillis. And I just wrote back, fuck you, YU. That's the best I've ever, the best thing I've ever done.
That was another thing about the Shane thing. I once, all the people that were like mad at him were Asian people with blue check marks, and I was like, oh, so you're mad because it's you?
Yeah.
So you wouldn't be mad if he had been if he had said like Spicks?
Yeah.
They wouldn't be the same people getting mad.
Nobody would have cared.
No.
Yeah, I think I say good for NBC for taking the chance. Good for SNL for taking the chance and. Just having some balls. I mean, fuck it. You know, we'll see how it all plays out. But I think it's good that, you know, it's good that they're going, all right, well, fuck it. You know, the fact that they vetted this guy, they know he said crazy shit. I know for a fact he told his agents and they told NBC,
they
like,
after, yeah.
They were like, look, I've said crazy shit. And they were like, all right, it is what it is. So.
Well, yeah, I was talking to people last night. It seemed weird if they didn't, because I know friends who had like Netflix shows who are. Like not like comics you would think just say wild shit had to delete 1,000 fucking tweets.
By the way, you don't have to delete anything. It makes you scared. I remember when I was on Last Comic Standing, I went and deleted some stuff because you sign this contract and it says if you they can like take away the prize and blah blah blah, and you're like, oh,
you're
shit.
Protecting your money, dude.
When you're a young comic and you know. Like, that's your first opportunity. When I did Last Comic Standing, I had nothing. I had no money. Yeah. I had a day job. I just had a brand new kid. Like, dude, it was fucking like, you know, you're just like, you see this bigger picture. Like, dude, I can get a TV show. And it's fucking nuts.
It's a carrot. They just dangle that carrot and it makes you do all the things that you wouldn't have done before you were famous.
But, you know, this is why you got to do shit for yourself. And this is why the podcast industry is flourishing. This is why the biggest show... Or the biggest shows that are available. Dude, you do Rogan, it is so much bigger than any late night show you're going to do.
Yeah.
And it's you kind of create your own path and you watch guys that are just doing it by themselves. I want to see how long we could hold on to that. Because that's where it's going to eventually, they're going to attack that. They're going to use algorithms to find every no-no word that's available on the internet. Mm-hmm. And they're going to wipe them, or they're gonna do something.
But the other means are slowly, and it's still slow, evaporating as their importance. This, what you're doing, people with big podcasts, people forget. I know some people think it's a consolation that they have like a podcast that people listen to and they want to do other things. This is a brand.
Oh yeah,
it makes money. It
for sure.
It's intimate. When I was a regular on a podcast, people came up to me and wanted to hug me because I'm in their ears for an hour and a half every week. Like
they feel a much different type of connection
in their soul. It's insane.
It's active listening. They're connected to the content. They're downloading it. They are listening to it when they want to listen to it at a specific time. They connect the content with something that they're doing, like working out or driving to work, part of their routine.
Oh, that's a good point,
it's a little.
Yeah.
It's a much different thing. People don't. It never existed before. This is why people loved Howard Stern so much.
That's
why
I
loved Opie and Anthony.
Yeah.
So much, it's because it was connected to this routine that they were a part of their drive every day. And that's an intimate moment, right? So you're at home, you're at work, you're at the gym, you're in your car. There's very few places where you're spending extensive amounts of times daily, right? And these are sort of your little, you know, your sanctuaries, right? Your car, especially if you like your fucking car, that's like a sanctuary. People like getting in their car. Like, I would way rather be in traffic behind the wheel, controlling my radio, the temperature, you know, the variables, talking who I want to talk to, than being on a subway car stuck on a fucking a track any day of the week. I would rather be, because
oh man, cars drive me banana.
I can't do it. Banana. I love a callback.
Cars drive me banana.
Under the same thing, when people attack, like, you know, well, they'll call Legion of Skanks fans this post Opie and Anthony Howard Stern audience. They're actually attacking just the fact that we have a blue-collar audience. Because that's what Stern and Opie and Anthony had, because it was people that listened in their fucking truck in the morning or on their commute, or people that made deliveries all day, truck drivers, shit like that. And that's the audience we have. We have this very dedicated blue-collar fan base. So when they attack that, they're not attacking what they like.
Yeah.
They're attacking the fact that blue-collar people just don't give a shit about their comedy because they're shitty alt-comics who play to people that fucking live in Bushwick.
Yeah. And it's also like we're talking, it's like a generational thing. It's like we grew up, if you're above the age of 30, right? We grew up like the foundation of what we find funny. It's just a little bit edgier, a little bit ballsier. Even the shit that wasn't supposed to be edgy was like way just fucking edgier. The cartoons were edgier back in the 80s and 90s. The kids' movies were edgier. They had some balls to them. It's like, you know, there was always jokes for adults and sexual innuendo, and it was just a different thing. And I grew up, when you talk about blue collar, like a racial joke at the dinner table was part of life.
Sure. Yeah.
It was part of life. My mom, when I was 10 years old, I would go to the bookstore and the book I would buy would be a dirty joke book.
Oh yeah.
And it was all like, it would be separated by those categories, Asian, Black, yeah. Like, and I would have this, I remember this fucking, it was a book. It was like the book of offensive jokes, something like that. And it was just the most rancid things you could possibly say. And
about a culture. Just,
yeah.
Yeah. Going in on cultures.
It was just part of the way we grew up. Yeah. And what they do is they're sort of trying to change that culture. And it's a cultural thing. It's like, for me, I love really fucked up, dirty, edgy shit. That's like what I grew up on. And you're sort of telling me to not be true to what I love and true to what I like. It is not harming anybody else, but I feel like that's how most people are who are above the age of 30. They want it a little bit rougher. And fine, it's going to change. Eventually, when people stop laughing, we shift. We are professional comedians. We read the audience. It's a dance between the comic and the audience, right? And even if there's not an audience there, you know, people, we want them to like our content. So if people are thumbs downing our YouTube videos, sure, or not sharing our content, or
you're gonna go back to the drawing board. Yeah, I'm gonna go back to the drawing board. I'm gonna figure out how I can work because I like the war. I want to know the details. I want to figure out what sparks somebody. You know,
of course,
whatever
you're
it may
trying
be.
To fucking. We are trying to. We are narcissists. We are trying to feed this need. Because our moms didn't fucking hug us enough or whatever it is, mm-hmm, we want an audience to fucking laugh as hard as possible. Every time we get up there, we want to kill. We want everyone to fucking carry us out on their hands, and we want to crowd surf out of that fucking building every time. Mm-hmm. We don't want a single person to be like, that really hurt my feelings. That's batshit crazy, okay? That's the goal. And I think that, you know, they're sort of, you know, we're losing sight of specifically that. I think people are way too worried about the repercussions. And the more people that just let go and the more people just fucking say, fuck it, and take those chances, they can't kill all of us. They can't get all of us. They can't go through every podcast. Mm-hmm. You know, every comic right now should be fucking saying every racial slur possible right now on their podcast today.
If and everyone go.
To kill the noise. Yeah, right. Yes. Yeah.
I mean, Lenny Bruce is still ranked number three all time, right? I mean, if you went and listened to his bits, what he was trying to do with language, people would go fucking crazy. Dude, well, look, we're like the same age, and we grew up rock dudes, hip hop. And so, like, the 80s comics were like rock comics. Even like Brian Posehn, who's like I think he would be considered an alt comic. Hmm. He's told people he loved Dice and Kinnison because to him, they were an extension of metal. And then in the early 90s, you had gangster rap, like comedians, you know, comedians who were, and it was about shock. Like, NWA records, they said crazy shit. Mm-hmm. Axl used to say crazy shit. It was to shock you. Like, I don't like shock for shock's sake, but if there's something there with it, you know, I loved Kinnison. He was one of my four favorite, and I now sometimes overthink when a comic asks me that I don't know who's like your Mount Rushmore comics. Sure. And I'm almost petrified to say Kinnison.
Like, you've been shamed for your taste. You're shamed for your taste.
Oh, the guy who came out with Girls in Chains.
Not your beliefs, for your taste. Like, I enjoy.
Yeah, I still love him. I was watching the Under My Thumb video where he remade Under My Thumb, and I still think it's not horrible. And I'm on the train home from Friday gigs, and I'm just enjoying it, and I forget that as I'm leaving to get a transfer, that they're at a strip club with a coked up Ozzy and Vince Neil and women's assholes hanging out. And there's women behind me that you clearly know have a thesis on women's rights Monday at Brandeis or NYU. And I look and I'm like, oh my God, I'm probably going to get filmed or a picture of this sexist watching strippers on his fucking phone.
If you asked any of those girls who fucked Motley Crue in the 80s, I bet you it was the
top of their fucking mountain of their life.
Oh, yeah.
It was the best.
Yeah.
Was sucking Nikki Sixx's dick in 1989 at the back of the fucking Whiskey Go-Go was the best thing this bitch has ever accomplished in her life.
She's still telling that story.
Don't I'm telling yourself, you.
Don't change. Someone in 09 sucked his dick and is bragging about it. So like, 09, I should have known better. Guys from Korn were there, but I'm like, you know what, man? I really like Theater of Pain, which is really underrated.
Dude, I'm telling you, man. You know, you have to... You know, you talk about personal accountability. We're so far removed from the rape culture conversation. It's so funny, like, how old that is now. It's like, we've gone, like, to, like, crazy shit, like child rape and fucking billionaires having sex islands. Like
10 levels
yeah,
above
dude,
that
we're
now.
Fucking, remember rape culture? Remember just fucking a chick when she's drunk? That was, like, a big convo we were having. It's like, wow.
I've made this joke before, but you have these girls that are like, I was taken advantage of by this guy. This guy from a band sent me a picture of his dick. There's some like 60-year-old lady right now who's like, yeah, when I was 14, Led Zeppelin fucked me with a fish.
Yeah, Pamela DeBarnes made a career of that. Like, she was fucking underage as a groupie. That became her shtick. She became a doc. Pamela DeBarnes. She had, this book has sold probably millions. I'm with the band. And she got a journalism career out of it. And she became a legend. Well, I remember. Oh, I don't get all this, but some woman like.
Do you remember fucking an underage girl after a show?
But when Bowie died, everyone was saying on Facebook.
He's thinking about that Disney
some
money.
Girl, but some this girl came out. And she was not, and this was like years before. She was not like mad. She was like, I fucked him. Was underage. I fucked a bunch of rock stars. And one dude went and wrote, "Yeah, cool. You're crying about Bowie to someone." I just read it randomly. It was like, "Yeah, what about that? What about that statutory rape?" And I'm obviously not condoning all that shit, but like it's their attack. He clearly, this was a different time. It was years later. It was so crazy.
I have a formula for this, and this is the truth. Okay?
For every decade, you knock a year off.
Knock a year off of age of consent for every decade if it's creepy. So you go back to 2019 now, you're 2009, 17 years old, age of consent. 1999, 16. That makes sense.
Okay. Well, how old is the guy?
89 doesn't matter. 89, 15. This is the Motley Crue. 15-year-old girls were sucking their dicks. I don't really have a problem with it. They were old enough back then. It's the '80s, doggy. Come on.
I mean, baby boy, it's the
'80s. Stone and
79, 14, 69, 13.
1800s, 12.
59.
12.
And then we cut it off. That's 12 is the age. That's
12 is where we're ending it there.
No. That's Jerry Lee Lewis.
They were banging
your old cousin.
That's one of his scenes
that's almost famous. How old are
you? He's had a career.
But have you ever seen a 16-year-old in like the 70s?
Have you ever seen a 12-year-old cousin in the 50s? Are you kidding me?
They look like 35-year-old librarians.
They have the bee fucking hive haircuts.
Fucking cat glasses.
Like every guy in every decade has said, have you seen the girls these days? Have you seen what they look like right now? They're asking for it.
The 1700s. Have you seen a 6-year-old girl?
I was on the prairie and I saw this 6-year-old girl. Holy shit.
I think that sort of makes sense. My formula. I guess it cuts off. It cuts off at 79 at 14. But I think that's the...
Sure it does.
Come on, Sam.
What's Polanski? What was his... She was 14, right?
And he raped her right there.
Yeah, but yeah, that was... It wasn't lewds.
Yeah, it wasn't statutory. It was a lot of rape.
Who defended her? Wasn't it...
Tarantino goes, she was
Tarantino,
asking for
yeah, Tarantino
and he's still
defended
paying for that
Stern,
dumb comment.
On Stern, yeah.
He's still paying for that.
He's like, what? What? You know?
And he's still making good movies.
She wanted it.
I get in arguments because
that movie
have a grudge.
Okay.
I've seen it five times in the theater.
Yeah, you
love
that movie. I've seen one.
I love it.
The new one.
It resonates with me. It's so unique because if you read the script, you're like, what? You really would be like.
Once upon a time in Hollywood.
Yeah, you would be like, what? 8 pages of him just driving or whatever. It's a pure film, like a filmmaker's film. It's a picture. If he doesn't put the music and all this, there's the commercials,
it's good.
The TV shows and movies.
It's good.
Did I just win you over in 2 minutes with that? Filibusting?
It's a little bit overrated. It's not great.
That last scene still gets me reacted.
The music's
insane. It brings me out. I might go now.
I feel like
to spite you. Go see
the trick
time.
Of the alternative reality he kind of did with
Inglourious Bastards.
Like that trick, which was such a sexy trick. Like that angle. It was fucking so good in Inglourious Bastards that I feel like it softened the blow in
this
one.
I didn't see it coming at all.
I felt like I got Shyamalan'd.
I know there's going to be a twist.
Yeah, exactly.
So with this I went, oh yeah, of course it's
going
to be.
I didn't think he was going to be
over the top gratuitous violence at the end. It wasn't like it was Kill Bill, where it was all throughout the movie, where it was fun and silly and gory. It was out of nowhere. It wasn't like it had this like these violent scenes. It was so over the top at the end that it was just like, I was like, it took me out of the movie.
When I'm
in a movie, I need to forget that I'm sitting. The same way I forget that the microphone's in front of my face, I need to be engulfed in the fucking movie. I need it. You know, this is 2019, baby boy. You know, I should fucking feel this fucking movie. And it never really got off the ground for me. It was way too long.
Come on, Bubba's. This is 4 hours. They're going to do it like they did Hateful Eight in Netflix in a couple years. They're going to split it up into 4 episodes.
Yeah, make it a miniseries, which I think I would like better.
Sure.
Wait! I fucking love
and
this.
Pete Davidson's movie. Fucking that chick now. Oh,
unbelievable,
fucking
huh?
Thoroughbred. Monster.
Will we be playing baby games? Are we playing kitty games? Okay.
She's so hot. Andy McDowell's daughter.
Yeah.
Oh,
a lot
the one
of
who was the Golden Globe
that.
Girl that one year,
the
too?
The girl with the armpit hair was trying to suck Brad Pitt's dick in the movie.
Prison been trying to get me my whole life.
In all fairness, dude, you would be like, get your fucking feet off my goddamn windshield.
Oh, her dirty
no respect
feet.
These days.
There was too many scenes in it where I was like, Jesus, Quentin, we get it. You like feet. You
love
feet.
Right?
There was too much feet, dude. Too much.
She's a fucking killer. Look at her. Good for you, Pete. Good for you, Pete Big Dick Davidson. Showed his dick to us on the first, or like one of the first episodes of Legion of Skanks.
Oh, it's real. Then.
He's got a monster.
Boy, they haven't caught that yet, huh?
They got a fucking...
Yeah, I know, right?
So anyway, guys,
who's producing this movie? MGM? They're going to have to release a statement.
DestinationNetwork.com. Use that promo code RAP. New York Times. All right, we're going to wrap this one up in just a couple minutes. I got to wrap this one up a little bit early today, kids, because I got to go and do some other stuff right after the show.
No IHOP? No Once Upon a Time? I want to take you to Once Upon a Time with pancakes. Maybe that will make you
the
feel better.
Date.
What do you like better, IHOP or Waffle House?
I am not a Waffle House guy.
What?
Yeah. I prefer Cracker Barrel. Fuck everybody.
Cracker Barrel's a shit, but that's in a category of itself. That's not the same as IHOP.
You ever had Claim Jumper?
Claim Jumper's insane.
I love Claim Jumper. West Coast.
They give you more food than some countries
the Widowmaker. Claim Jumper is next level. Yeah. It's a hamburger.
Wait, did you say Widowmaker?
The Widowmaker.
Oh, I don't remember that.
Oh, shit.
What wrestler's nickname was Widowmaker? Come on, Zach.
Ooh.
I don't know. Barry Windham. In the WWF.
Yeah.
It was a horrible run.
Yeah.
Barry Windham. Is
no
the guy
music.
Used to pat himself on the back. That's Barry Windham, right?
That's Barry Horowitz.
Barry Horowitz.
He won one match in like 50 years. The one openly Jewish, clearly Jewish guy never won.
Yeah.
It's hilarious.
Well, Erwin R. Scheister.
Oh, the IRS.
Erwin R. Scheister, the most anti-Semitic name you could possibly come up with.
And he's clearly Italian. He's Mike Rotunda.
He's the greasiest dude ever, Erwin R. Scheister.
All right, look, you guys have been awesome, man. Thank you so much
for
joining
us
on today's Real Ass Podcast. We'll be back on Monday with another great episode of the show. I have heartburn from all the shitty food I ate yesterday. I got to take a shit. Every time I stop eating bad, the day after I take the biggest shit ever. But I could be binging for 2 months straight. But whatever, the day after I decide, it's a psychological thing where my body just wants... Like, right now, there's shit coming out of my asshole. Oof.
That's why I had to end early.
It's a really bad one.
Things to do.
Pee first.
All right. Goodbye. Oof.
That's all, folks.